Let's pray as we come to the Word. Lord, Your Word is good. It's true. It guides our hearts, our minds, our lives. Lord, speak to us today through Your Word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are coming to our last week in the letter of 1 John. And you might have thought we were finished last week, but I left off one verse. And I want you to think about something. When you're writing a letter, or maybe you're seeing somebody for the last time or the last time in a little while. Maybe they're headed off to school or the military or they're moving or something like that. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a child. Those last words that you say are important. What are some of those last words you might say? I love you. See you soon. Take care of yourself. Hey, God bless you. That's great. If you're a mom, I mean, be careful, right? That comes automatically, right? You want to say something meaningful that last time that you see them for a little while. John's writing a letter, and in those days, letters weren't like email, and you could just keep replying no matter where you were on the planet. You know, this is he's going to send this to a group in the church, and it might be the last words they see or hear from him for a while. And these are the words that he leaves us with. And he's just talked about making sure that we understand we're children of God and we're not children of the world. And these are the words that he speaks in verse 21. So this is 1 John 5, verse 21. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. So earlier in 1 John, we memorized a verse a while back. And so let's memorize this one. Pretty easy, right? Say it with, don't look down. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Pretty simple. And you might think, okay, it's a short verse, so you know he's going to be done really soon. That is not the case today. All right? There are over 200 references in the Bible to idols and idolatry. It is a really important thing that God wants to drive home to us because we have a tendency to be distracted, to be pulled away, and to put our hope and our faith in other things other than God. And I'd like to read to you the big passage that we read about, the first place that we really read about the dangers of idols. And it's in the Ten Commandments. It's in Exodus chapter 20. There we go. All right. It says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. So don't make an idol and don't worship those idols. And what was happening in the ancient world is that the other countries, the other nations, they would make idols, statues out of stone or metal or wood, and they would worship them. And those idols were supposed to represent their God and resemble their God. Now, here's the thing with us. Where else do you see that word image? Genesis 1, you see image. We are in God's image. We are supposed to represent and resemble God, not some little statue. And Jesus is the ultimate image of God. He is the image of the invisible God, we read in Scripture. So he is God in the flesh. We are also representatives of God, though, and a statue could never fully characterize and fully capture who God is, and we should not worship. Even if it's an image of Jesus, we should not worship an image. We should not worship an idol, a picture, or anything like that. I know there's a lot of artwork in church and everything, and that's fine, but we shouldn't bow down to and worship any image. And it says, you shall not bow down to these things. And the next verse says the wrath of God will come. And it also says that in Colossians chapter 3. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. So that word can also be translated covetousness, wanting what's in the world. That's idolatry when you want stuff in the world more than you want God. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. God is not pleased when we worship other things. And so this is a very big point that John's driving home in the last verse of this letter. And I started to think about this. Why do we chase after idols? Why do we follow them? Why are we even interested in these things that might be in the world? So it's not just a statue, because most of you probably have never been tempted to worship a statue, I'm guessing. But have you ever coveted or been greedy or wanted something in the world more than you want God? I think there are a few reasons why. Is this not working? Thank you. Voice from above. All right. First reason, basically, is we're sinful. That's it. But the reason that I've given you here, number one, is we misunderstand our desire to worship God, and we replace that worship of God with other things. But do you know that every culture in the world throughout history, every continent, every people group, every nation has worshipped in some way? They're trying to find God. They're trying to worship God. They don't always find the right God. But there's a desire in a human being to worship. That is what you were created to do. You know how there are times in worship when you just feel ecstatic? It's just a great thing to be in that place of worship with God. The reason that feels good, and you shouldn't just chase that because it feels good. You should just worship God because he's worthy to be worshipped. But the reason you have that feeling is because you are doing what you were created to do. That's why you were created. But we replace that by worshiping other things. You see that with little kids. Sometimes little kids worship or even idolize their parents. That doesn't last too long. But then you worship maybe other people. For me, when I was a kid, 3, 4, 5 years old, you're not going to guess this one. Evel Knievel. Right? Do you remember him, the daredevil? I used to just love to watch that guy break all the bones in his body. That's really cool. Jumping over things and crashing. And I used to take my bikes over jumps and come home with skinned knees and stuff like that. Because when you idolize somebody or something, you want to be that thing, that person. At one point, I wanted to be Bruce Jenner. I started training for the decathlon when I was 6, 1976 Olympics. I'm going to win the decathlon. Larry Bird was next, and he stayed for a little while. But here's the thing. People will let you down. People are not perfect. People are not worthy to be idolized. I've heard there are times when people will put a pastor on a pedestal. I know you guys don't do that. But please don't. Please don't. Because I'll let you down. Only God is worthy to be up on that pedestal. Only he is not going to let you down. So when we come to the Lord, we recognize there's something greater than what's in this world. And I want to read a few verses to you from Psalm 115. It says in Psalm 115, verse 2, "Why do the nations say, 'Where is their God?'" See, all the nations were looking at the people of Israel, and they didn't see any idols. There were no statues. So they're saying, "Well, who's your God?" The next verse says this, "Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him." He does whatever he wants. That's our God. You're not going to see a picture or a statue of him. And then he goes on to say this, the author of the psalm, "But their idols are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but cannot walk. Nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them." You tend to become like your idol. You become obsessed with that. Well, I want to become like God. I want to be obsessed with God. So I want to be focused on him. So the first reason I think we chase after idols is we have this desire to worship someone or something, and that's inside of us. But instead of worshiping God, we replace that with other things. Next slide. We're looking for help. We want help, and we're looking at it, looking for it in different places, in different ways. People go to astrology. People go to tarot cards. People will look in different places to get help. Maybe you look for a drug. Maybe you look for something else instead of going right to God. Don't go to the internet first, because, yes, that can become an idol. Go to God first for your help. We're looking for help, and we're looking in a lot of different places. Look to God. Next slide. Here's another reason. We are often drawn to the physical world. We're human beings, we see with our eyes, and the physical world kind of draws us in. And instead of worshiping the true God of the universe who created everything, we substitute that for something that's nice and shiny for the moment. You know, when we make this terrible trade, I talked about this on Good Friday, on that service, that Judas made this terrible trade. He traded his eternal soul in a relationship with God forever for 30 pieces of silver, 30 shiny pieces of money. And that was it. And we often do that. We sometimes don't understand the value of God and the value of things, and we make bad trades in our lives. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking what little kids do, and maybe you did this with your siblings or with friends when you were a kid, when you're still understanding coins and money, and you would say, well, I have a nickel and you have a dime. A nickel's bigger than a dime. I'll trade with you. How many of you did that? Bella? Okay, she knows. How many of you have lied this morning? Okay. So we do that. We trade things. We trade what's valuable for what really ultimately isn't. Right? And we shouldn't do that. But putting joking aside and just going to deeper truth here, I want to look at the verse from Romans. It says, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Don't make that trade. Someone who is eternal in a relationship you can have with him for just something that's temporary. Don't give that up. What profits a man who gains the whole world but yet loses his soul? And now, as I'm talking to you about things, I've given you a lot of scripture, but I'm hoping that it's hitting home into maybe some things that are in your life. Maybe there are some idols that are creeping in or have crept in over the years. So I want to give you some examples of some things that can become idols in our life. And I just sat down on my desk and I just started writing these down. And it got too long because a lot of things can become idols in our lives. Anything, really. Even good things we can become obsessed with and they can become too important to us. So I narrowed it down to three columns. So if you go to the next slide and just show the first column there. The big one is money. That's the one that people just get so attracted to, and you just live for money. You see it everywhere. You see it in the business world. You see it in politics. You see it in people's lives where money becomes more important than doing the right thing, than serving God, and money becomes a focus. And that could be a whole sermon series on that. Another one is technology. Facebook, Instagram, just the internet in general, things like that, your phone, right? People are addicted to these things. People actually get hurt because of these things, right? And you can tell when somebody's addicted to one of these things if you're having a conversation with them and it goes ba-ding, and they're kind of talking to you, but they want to go like this, right? They want to take a look. Who's calling me? Right? Put it down. Put it away. Right, we can, and we are probably, a lot of people here, including myself, have been guilty of making that thing too important. Put it down. It's not worth it. Another thing that becomes too valuable in our lives is celebrities. And this is one I'm not understanding. But we saw it in the last election. A lot of celebrities, musicians, actors, athletes, coming out and speaking for one candidate or another. And my question is this. Why does their voice matter? Why? If you can throw a ball, then you can talk to me about politics. If you can act, if you can pretend to be another person and do it really well, that makes you smart. If you can sing a song, which is a great gift, what does that mean about, what does it have to do with anything else? Why do we value their opinion? Because they look good in a movie? Why do we value these celebrities? It's crazy if you think about it that people would idolize them. You have magazines like People Magazine. People are pouring through these magazines looking at, oh, this person, you know, married that person, and that person had a kid, and this person, these people that really don't matter. I shouldn't say that. Everybody matters, but they don't matter any more than you or me. And in this book, you have the story of the living God, right? This is what matters. You know, and I don't understand why people are going to put a high level of trust into those people, because they have a specific talent. Is their talent better than being a mechanic or being a doctor? You know, think about that. My dad had surgery this week. This doctor in Boston went in through a vein, went up through an artery, and repaired a stent in his artery. I'll take that guy's opinion over one of these celebrities, over George Clooney or LeBron James, or pick one. You know, that guy, at least, he's got a lot going on there, but he might not be right either. But I don't understand why we put people up so high. Or entertainment in general. TV shows, movies, sports. You know, I was walking in this morning as I was thinking about this sermon, and I was wearing my Patriots hat and jacket. I'm thinking, oh, okay. All right, Lord, I got it. I got your message, right? Really, it doesn't matter if the Sox win today. It doesn't matter. It doesn't affect our eternal souls. It really doesn't matter at all. The next one I put up there would be, some of you will get this and some of you will not, but for some people, exercise can become an idol. It becomes so important that it just you obsess over it. Clothes can become really important. What I'm wearing just makes me feel good. Said me, never. I just said it, I guess. So, traveling. I had somebody say to me once, I think I'm addicted to traveling. I just like getting off that plane and going to that new place and go. And that's great. Enjoy traveling. But I think sometimes that's just an escape from what you really got to do in life. Next set. Go ahead. Some of these are self-explanatory. These things can take over people's lives. Drugs, sex, parties. People are into cars sometimes. People have hobbies. What's wrong with a hobby? Nothing is wrong with a hobby, unless it takes over your life. I'm guessing these two here aren't really going to be that big for people living in a small working-class town. You're not looking for power or fame. Maybe you are, but I'm kind of assuming this would be a different message if I was speaking to the Patriots or Red Sox today. The next slide. Now, these things over here, all these things look really good. Is work good? Work is good. It's good to have a job. It's good to work hard. But that can become an obsession. That can become too important in your life. You can neglect other areas of your life because of work. That being said, we should still work, and we should work hard. Here's one that some of you won't get this one either, but I get this one, so I wrote it down. Routine. I like routine. I like to get up at the same time. I like to go for my run at the same time, have breakfast at the same time, see Bella off to school, then see Caleb off to school, then get to work, get to the church at the same time, and do the same thing every day. And sometimes Christy will suggest doing something in a different order. It's just mind-blowing. I mean, the chaos of life if you do things out of the order. So, but I know for me, that can almost become just an idol. And I have to remind myself, I can do things out of order. And maybe God has a different plan for me today. Sometimes your goals can become too important. Sometimes food can become too important. The last one, family, people, relationships. How can your family be too important? If it's more important than God, if you're not serving God, if you're not doing what He says because of your family, then that thing can be an idol. Relationships. You know, there's a whole movie industry just based on two people bumping into each other and living happily ever after, right? Oh, I bumped into this person, and I dumped coffee on her, and she was really mad at me, and who would have thought we would have ended up together by the end? I would have thought that. As soon as the movie started, I knew which two people were going to be together. But the point being this, the whole industry is based on this. That if you find that special someone, everything's going to be fine. It's not going to be completely fine. There isn't really a happily ever after. Marriage is hard work, right? I mean, it takes effort. It's all about love. It's great. But the only happily ever after is found in Jesus. That is happily ever after. And we will live with Him in heaven. There will be no arguing or disputes. There will be no more suffering or death or crying or pain. So He is worth putting our focus, our energy, our effort, our adoration, and our worship into. He alone. So if you have any issues with these things, and there are more, there's tons more. If you have issues with any of these things, just wipe them away. and focus on Jesus. If there's an idol in your life, you know, in the Bible, there were certain kings that saw idols. I remember Josiah. He became king when he was 8 years old, and when he became smart enough to figure out what was going on, he saw all these idols, and he had them all destroyed, all burned, just destroyed from the whole kingdom of Israel. And Josiah did good in the sight of the Lord, it says in Scripture. Let's be people that do good in sight of the Lord. Let's get rid of the idols in our life. Let's focus on Jesus and follow Jesus. Let's stay away from the idols. Let's focus on the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we all have things that we're tempted to do. We all have distractions. We all have things that we're tempted to idolize and put on a pedestal higher than you. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for this. Forgive us that we see things in this world that only have temporary and hardly any value at all, and we put them above you, Lord. Help us to, in every situation, put you first, to put you at the center, to serve you and live for you and follow you. And listen to the words of one of your disciples. Dear children, keep us away from idols. Amen.